You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, 650 pilot whales washed up and stranded themselves near Golden Bay on Farewell Spit. I spoke to Director of the Joint Graduate School of Coastal Marine Science and the school at the School of Biological Sciences at the University of Auckland, Rochelle Constantine, about what a pilot whale even is.
Pilot whale is actually a really big dolphin. So they're they're really black. They're historically known as blackfish, but they're one of the larger of the dolphins, and they live in these really big groups out in the open ocean. They're found all over the world, and including in New Zealand waters.
Mm-hmm. Are they closely related to the orca, or are they just their own kind of buzz?
Yeah, they're their own kind of thing, but you know, they're big like the killer whales.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So 650 stranded, that seems mind-bogglingly huge. Is that unusual?
Yeah, it is unusual. I think this is definitely one of the largest mass strandings we've ever had in New Zealand. There may historically, before people arrived, been larger, but you know, I think even by global standards, it's an extremely large one as well. So yeah, it's quite the event.
Mm-hmm. They are known to strand, though, in groups.
Yeah, pilot whales are notorious for mass stranding, not just here, but other parts of the world as well. And they seem to have this behaviour where they will happily come into shore in really large groups and get stuck. It's very weird, and I think there are a lot of different reasons for why it happens. But yep, they're known for strandings, and in New Zealand they're our most stranded species by number of animals now, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Do we know why? Have we ever known why they strand?
There's a lot of different reasons, so it's often quite hard to know why. To work out exactly why all these whales strand, all of them can't be sick. But we've known in the past, when we do necropsies on the dead whales, that sometimes there'll be a key individual that's sick. So it may have, when we cut it open, a massive infestation of worms, or in some cases we've found them with infestations of brain worms, which is the stuff of horror movies, but they're clearly not well. In other cases, we've found a key female that is having a difficult birth. So whales and dolphins are born tail first, but when we cut them open, we'll see that the calf is head first. And so we think that perhaps that's part of the reason why they might strand, and they'll just stay around and with this particular individual. And I've definitely been to strandings in the past where that's the case. In some cases, we've had strandings where there's been a key individual whistling, calling and calling on the beach, and individuals that we're trying to refloat will turn and keep orienting back towards that individual. And I know, historically, they've been able to isolate that animal, they'll shoot it. Because if they can't get it out, easily, because you can't just pick them up, they're big animals. So what they'll end up doing is they'll often, euthanize that animal, and then we can get the rest of them back out. In other cases, we can't find why they strand, and we think they just make a mistake. And we think often, probably in the case of places like Golden Bay, that's exactly what they do. The sort of geography of the place is such that it's about a 25 kilometer long hooked sand spit of a beach. There's a big wide opening on the eastern side of it, so the whales just are swimming through the normal Cook Strait, sort of broader Cook Strait area. They'll come in and they're swimming, and the water is getting shallow gradually, really gradually getting shallower, and we think that they're just swimming along quite happily and they don't realize that they're getting in really shallow water. And when the tide turns and goes out quite quickly, they then get stuck.
Those examples you're talking about one sick individual or something, would that happen because they just can't swim anymore and they just float to shore and then they all just stick with their family and friends? Is that kind of what's going on there?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, I think as scientists, we're always really challenged, because when you get animals wash up on a beach, be a mass stranding or a single animal, in New Zealand, we don't do a lot of necropsies on them unless they're unusual individuals. It's really expensive to do, and we just don't have the funding. But in those cases when we do look at the individuals, we can sort of see certain illnesses or, things that aren't quite right, like parasite loads, intestinal worms and that. The problem is that we don't know if that's normal. It's hard working out what's a normal infestation of this, or illness level, or lung disease, or whatever it might be that the animals have. What's normal out in the wild population? Because we can't go out and take a few from the wild and kill them and look and see. So we sort of get this biased sample when they strand of individuals that, if they were unwell, it's like, okay. And is that what they always do? Well, not all animals that are sick strand. There are a lot of healthy animals that strand. So I think sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
What's the refloating process like? Mm. Is it a huge job? You said they were quite large animals. Mm-hmm. How do you even do it? You roll them or do you just push them?
Mm. So it's pretty tricky work. So when a stranding occurs, the Department of Conservation works in partnership with iwi, the local iwi and hapu, to decide what happens at the stranding. And then they've got a really good working relationship with Project Jonah, which probably a lot of the listeners have done their courses throughout New Zealand, and they sort of help train people in the event of mass strandings or even single strandings how to help. So there's a lot that kicks into place. There's this rapid assessment of the status of the health of the animals. You know, are they in a bad way, and would the most humane thing to euthanize them there and then? If they're in a good state and the tide's gone out, they look to see when the tide's coming in again. And the first thing that has to happen is just keeping those animals wet. And so you'll see often in pictures the animals are covered in sheets and things in a way to try and stop them burning. They're getting sunburn. And people constantly putting water over the bodies of the animals to cool them down, because they've got a blubber layer that insulates them for the water temperature. But on a hot summer's day in Golden Bay, their temperature's massively elevated. So we know that they can die of heat stress. So keeping them calm and keeping them hydrated is really important. If it's possible and there's a sort of a long line of the whales and the tide's starting to come in, they'll start digging out little trenches to get the whales out. So when there's water under them, they can sort of guide them out this sort of sandy trench, which is really useful. In some cases, they'll use these particular... they're kind of a mat, and they fold them under the whale. They sort of tilt it slightly to one side and the other, and then they inflate pontoons on the side and float them out. That's used for the really big animals. On a stranding the scale of the one we just had, it's pretty tough. So what they relied on were digging the trenches and groups of people as the tide came in and there was a bit of water on the whale, sort of gently pushing the whale out. You can't pull them by their tail comes off. There's no bone in their tail, so you can't pull them, and you can't roll them because you'll cause quite a lot of damage. You'll break ribs, you'll damage their dorsal fin and their pectoral fins, which are basically their arms. You're likely to dislocate them, so you've got to keep them upright. If they're tilt on their side for too long, they get really disoriented, and when you put them back in, they actually swim in a big loop on the side that they were lying on, because their balance is all out. So there's quite a lot that has to go on, and like I said, those Project Jonah courses are really good. So if anyone wants to do them, I really recommend them, because they know what they're doing. And also Doc knows that the medics are trained, so it helps the whole thing swing into action really, really quickly. And then scientists come along and are part of the conversation as well about animal health and decisions around euthanizing. There's often a lot of veterinarians there. Yeah, it's a big deal. And a lot of this kicks in place if there's 10 whales, let alone hundreds.
Mm. Mm. Now, Doc has been criticized this time for not acting fast enough. How do you feel about that? Do you agree with that or do you disagree?
It's a really difficult thing. So, public health, people's health and welfare is the most important thing, and Doc have to abide by that. It's always been like that, but certainly more so now with our health and safety legislation we have in place. And we cannot let people, no matter how well-meaning they are, you can't just let all these people just race down there and start rescuing whales in the dark. And that was what, I got a notification along with a number of us on Thursday night that this event was probably happening. It was quite late. And so the difficult thing is how to mobilise that many people that were needed for the stranding. They knew it was a big one. That early was not possible to get everyone there that night. And they would have been working in the dark. They didn't know what they were working with. Oftentimes there are sharks around potentially. There's just a lot of risks and potential hazards. And so Doc has to weigh that up really seriously, because people's welfare needs to be looked after. And they make that decision not lightly. No one wants dead whales, least of all Doc. Everyone wants them back out. And I think, it's always good post these large stranding events, we always have a gathering and a meeting and an analysis and how we can improve. And I know this will be part of that conversation. I think one of the things that's a real challenge around strandings is these are highly emotional events. And, you know, and people put their heart and soul in it, and they are devastating things to be at. You know, I've attended enough of them in my time. And but I think, you know, one of the things that people always have to keep in mind is that we can only do the best we can do for these animals, and sometimes they're going to have to be euthanized. You know, it's the most humane thing to do in some cases. And yeah, it's always people to be mindful that no matter what happens at Australian, we all just want the best for the animals, and that's not it's not always going to end up with a happy ending. And in this case, we've got around 300-350 dead whales. It's a massive loss, but it's not an endangered species. I know that doesn't make it better, but you know, you sort of got to put all this into perspective, and it's a natural event. They've been doing this since forever. But yeah, it's been quite the weekend.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te waia, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.